Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 18th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
The U.S. closes in on approval of a second vaccine.
Problems emerge in the distribution of shots as infections continue to surge.
Progress on stimulus talks, but still no deal as a midnight deadline approaches.
And a list of victims in a Russian cyber attack rose, ensnaring the U.S. agency in charge of nuclear weapons.
Mayor de Blasio eyes a shutdown of the city after Christmas. I'm John Tucker. The story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Chargers beat the Raiders in overtime, and the Giants on Sunday will be without their play caller.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are treading water as we head into the final trading day of the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 3 points, Dow futures up 6, and NASDAQ futures are down 9. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. The CAC in Paris is little change, and the FTSE 100 up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nd, yield 0.93%, and the yield in the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 13 cents at $48.23 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.33%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin with the U.S. on the verge of approving a second coronavirus vaccine. A panel of experts has given its okay to Moderna's shot. Dr. Ofer Levy is head of the Precision Vaccine Program at Boston Children's Hospital and a member of the FDA advisory panel. He says the shot looks promising for a number of reasons.
There's a little bit of data in the Moderna folder about potentially protecting against asymptomatic infection. If that holds up with larger numbers, that would be important because then it might also reduce the risk that you spread the infection to somebody else if you're immunized.
Dr. Levy was a guest on Bloomberg Bay State Business, heard weekday afternoons on Bloomberg 106.1 in Boston. The FDA could authorize Moderna's vaccine today, which it showed a high rate of effectiveness in late-stage trials.
Meantime, many states are getting fewer shots than originally planned. Washington Governor Jay Inslee says his state's allocation for next week was cut by 40%.
The only thing you can be sure of when you have a massive logistical efforts like this, you probably could expect some glitches. This may be the first one. We'd love it to be the last one.
Inslee says he does not think it's a systemic long-term problem, and Pfizer claims it's not a production issue. Meantime, the pandemic continues to ravage parts of the country. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus, while the U.S. reported another 234,000 infections.
California is among states reporting another record day for fatalities, accompanied by increasing strains on hospitals. Ed Baxter has the latest from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
379 deaths with over 52,000 new infections. The greater Los Angeles area is now the worst hit U.S. metro area in the nation. Hospitals mainly in the more rural areas are running over capacity. And in Apple Valley, Dr. Mon Dillon says he handled 10 cardiac arrests in a short period of time.
I've never seen so many code blues all in one shift.
The state has instituted what is called a mass fatality program, which coordinates mutual aid. San Francisco has issued a quarantine notice effective today. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. There's still no pandemic relief bill as negotiators struggle through a handful of remaining issues. The holdup means a weekend session is now likely, and a government shutdown cannot be ruled out. Still, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is hopeful a deal will get done.
We're going to stay right here, until we're finished, even if that means working through the weekend, which is highly likely.
On the other side of the aisle, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer also appears optimistic.
None of the remaining hurdles cannot be overcome. Everyone is committed to achieving a result, and we will not leave until we get the job done.
Negotiators are looking to pass stimulus as part of a massive spending bill. The government is currently operating on stopgap funding that expires at midnight.
Another major story unfolding in Washington at this hour is the cyber attack by hackers with suspected ties to Russia. Now we're learning more about what and who might be compromised. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources tell Bloomberg News the Energy Department and National Nuclear Security Administration, which maintains America's nuclear stockpile, were also targeted, along with Homeland Security, Treasury, Commerce, and the State Department. Investigators believe the hackers installed malicious code in software from a company called SolarWinds, allowing them to remain undetected for years. U.S. cybersecurity officials say the hackers pose a widespread, grave risk, and President-elect Joe Biden has pledged retaliation when he takes office. President Trump has not publicly addressed the attack. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Tensions between the U.S. and China are back on the front burner. According to Reuters, the U.S. is set to blacklist dozens of Chinese companies, including the country's top chip maker, semiconductor manufacturer International. President Trump is reportedly looking to add around 80 more companies to the Commerce Department's entity list.
Meantime, in the U.K., Brexit talks remain stalled. Britain's chief negotiator says time is running out to reach a deal. Prime Minister Boris Johnson is warning talks will fail unless the EU backs off on fishing rights. Behind the scenes, though, officials say there is progress and the negative language could be a negotiating tactic.
And on the corporate front this morning, earnings from FedEx are disappointing. Shares are down 3% after FedEx failed to keep pace with soaring expectations, and Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
The adjusted operating margin was 7.4% in the company's fiscal second quarter, while significantly higher than a year ago. That trailed FedEx's 8.5% margin in the previous quarter. The cost squeeze is likely to spur investor doubts about FedEx's ability to reap the rewards of record demand for package deliveries. The company's biggest rival, United Parcel Service, sparked a sell-off in its own shares in October after predicting pressure from higher expenses. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And coming up on the earnings front today, we get results from Nike this afternoon. Again, S&P futures are up 2 points, Dow futures up 2, NASDAQ futures down 5. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.93%, and the yield in the 2-year 0.12%. COMEX gold is down 0.33% or $6.80 at $1,883.60 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good Friday morning, John.
Yeah, good morning to you, Nathan. Rising coronavirus cases and a stubbornly high infection rate means New York City is moving to another shutdown. And Mayor Bill de Blasio says the period right after Christmas is a natural moment.
If we want to avoid restrictions, I'm going to keep saying it. If people want to avoid restrictions, I do. I want to avoid them. If you want to avoid them, anyone wants to avoid them, wear a mask, practice distancing, do not travel, do not have large gatherings.
Governor Cuomo would have the final say about another shutdown. The COVID-19 positivity rate is 5.7% in the city. Public hospitals in the city have canceled elective surgeries because of the increasing caseload. The pandemic slowdown in real estate deals has cost New York City $1.2 billion in lost revenue so far this year. Sales of commercial and residential properties are down 49% this year through November, and that has led to a sharp decline in city tax revenue. That's according to the Real Estate Board of New York. New Jersey lawmakers have given their blessing to a marijuana marketplace. The story in this report from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The Democrat-led Assembly and Senate passed a measure setting up a timetable that could see recreational cannabis available in New Jersey in about 6 months. The legislation now goes to Governor Phil Murphy, who, along with lawmakers, reached an agreement on the legislation earlier this month. He's expected to sign the bill, though it's unclear when. New Jersey joins 15 other states and the District of Columbia with recreational marijuana. Voters in New Jersey overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment in November allowing for recreational marijuana for adults 21 and older. Cannabis will be subject to the state's 6.6% sales tax. Local towns can tack on another 2%. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President-elect Joe Biden is responding to a federal investigation into Hunter Biden's tax matters and Republican calls for a special counsel investigation into his foreign dealings.
We have great confidence in our son. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play, but look, it is what it is.
Biden appeared with his wife in an interview with CBS late night host Stephen Colbert. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
Nathan, the Las Vegas Raiders open for an AFC wildcard playoff spot. Last night's 30-27 overtime loss to the LA Chargers will not help. A game that was tied at 10 and then 17 and then 24. Vegas kicked a field goal in OT, but the Chargers won it on a Justin Herbert quarterback sneak with a minute and a half to go. His 53-yard pass set up the TD, and the Chargers end a 9-game losing streak within the division. The Raiders fall to 7-7. They are a game and a half out for the playoffs. The Giants host Cleveland Sunday night. We don't know yet who the quarterback will be, whether Daniel Jones is healthy enough or if it'll be Colt McCoy, but we do know who will be calling the plays for the quarterback, and it will not be offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. He has COVID, so tight ends coach Freddie Kitchens will take over. He was Cleveland's head coach last season. More importantly, might be the loss of cornerback James Bradbury, who's on the COVID list. He's had a terrific season, tied for the league lead in broken up passes. Henrik Lundqvist will not play hockey this season. After 15 years in goal for the Rangers, he signed with Washington, but has developed a heart condition.
Say for the past 2 months, I felt so inspired. I'm committed to prepare myself for this upcoming season. The daily skates and workouts and just the thought of playing in D.C. has really, really brought me lots of excitement. It's still very hard for me to process all of this and kind of shocking, to be honest.
Lundqvist said the risk of playing was too high. College hoops in the Big East. St. John's lost to Creighton, 94-76. Seton Hall beat Marquette, 70-63. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Futures on Wall Street are holding steady after the major indices closed at record highs yesterday. Right now, S&P futures are up 2 points. Dow futures down 7. NASDAQ futures down just about a point. 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, yield 0.94%, and the 2-year yield is at 0.12%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning after closing at a record yesterday. This as Congress works to complete a pandemic relief deal. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, they're up 3 points. Dow futures are down 3. NASDAQ futures up 1. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. CAC in Paris, little change. And the FTSE 100 up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32, yield 0.93%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 13 cents at $48.23 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.33% or $6.40 at $18.84 an ounce. The euro, 1.2252 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3529. And the yen is at 103.36. And Bitcoin is at $22,859. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, the U.S. is on the verge of approving a second coronavirus vaccine. A panel of experts has given its okay to Moderna's shot. The FDA could authorize Moderna's vaccine today. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus, while the U.S. reported another 234,000 infections. There's still no pandemic relief bill in Congress as negotiators struggle through a handful of remaining issues. In sports, the Chargers beat the Raiders 30-27 in overtime. Global news 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And with the U.S. on the verge of having two approved coronavirus vaccines, we're pleased to be joined this morning by Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Good to have you back on with us this morning, Doctor. Of course, the advisory panel has given its nod to the Moderna shot. What kind of impact do you see that having now with two potential vaccines being distributed in this country?
Well, it's great to be with you. And there is a glimmer of hope here because this vaccine adds to our available stock as it gets ramped out. And it also can be stored at a much more reasonable temperature, about 20 degrees below zero Celsius. So it's a freezer temperature that is much more achievable than the Pfizer vaccine. And so I think these two can complement each other in terms of how they're distributed. They seem to be very similar in their side effects and positive effects. And so I think we're likely to see that these will roll out quickly. The problem is quickly is in a period of months, not days. And so this is hope for the future, but we've got to deal with what's in front of us right now.
And let's talk about what is in front of us at this point. As John mentioned in the news, we have hundreds of thousands of new coronavirus cases in this country, the surge continuing, particularly in California. Where do we stand in the pandemic right now?
Well, it's a pretty alarming situation. We have more than 3,000 deaths a day, and I'm sure that some of your listeners will be hearing some of the messages that maybe these aren't really COVID deaths. And I think people have to think about the fact that we have ICUs filling to capacity in hospitals representing about 10% of the U.S. population, really critical shortages of ICU capacity. And we have body bags being delivered at unprecedented rates in Los Angeles County. We have to know that there's something different happening, even if you try to deny that this is COVID. So we're really dealing with a crisis, and we have to get serious. And the part of the problem is I think it's hard for people to understand things that change slowly. The effects of Thanksgiving travel were seen weeks after, and I think it's hard for people to connect those dots. So we have to understand that when we make precautions now, they're not going to be seen for weeks. And so as we look at this rise right now, we have to realize that we're not going to turn this boat around for weeks.
As we start to see hospital capacities getting overwhelmed, particularly in California, and now that shots are starting to be administered into the arms of healthcare workers, are we going to start to get into a situation where inoculated healthcare workers can sort of surge over to those hospitals that really need help in the immediate future?
Well, I like that optimism. I hope that there's enough capacity where those people are being inoculated that they would be able to leave that place and travel to one that is in greater need. But the need is so widespread. If you look at the map of Tennessee, basically every county is in the red zone. So there's not a lot of excess capacity where people can be shuffled around. But it is true that these people should be protected from disease. They'll still need to mask because we still don't know whether these vaccines prevent transmission. We hope that they will, because that would contribute to herd immunity. Right now, we're protecting healthcare workers simply to preserve capacity, but we also need to vaccinate the vulnerable. It's a tough set of choices.
Are you concerned at all about some of the logistical challenges we're starting to see crop up with the Pfizer vaccine, not just in terms of the extreme cold temperatures that they need to be kept in, but the actual manufacture of those vaccines?
Well, I think the ramp up has been surprisingly fast. And of course, there are challenges with production with any new product. But with two manufacturers now contributing, I think that's great. I think the real disappointment is that the Sanofi GSK and Oxford AstraZeneca vaccines have been delayed because of problems there. So we are going to be behind the eight ball for a while with these vaccines, even if manufacturer doesn't get delayed for the RNA vaccines. They're not going to go out fast enough to really dent this curve for some time.
We know that Vice President Pence is going to get the vaccine publicly in a little less than 2 hours now. What's your position on whether people are going to have confidence in this vaccine? Are you concerned about that at all in our last minute here?
Well, we know that people have some doubts, and I can understand, but these have been studied very carefully. The way they've been speeded up is by doing things in parallel because of commitments to cost, so that the manufacturers were assured that they would not lose even if a vaccine candidate got delayed. And so I think that the capacity to do that has allowed us to accelerate the process while still ensuring safety. Healthcare workers are flocking to get vaccinated. I think that shows that people who know are eager to do this, and I think we have to address issues of trustworthiness in people of color and others who've been marginalized historically, but I think we'll get there.
Thank you, as always, for coming on with us, Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. While we await a possible emergency use approval for the Moderna shot, futures on Wall Street are little changed. Right now, S&P futures higher by 4 points, Dow futures up 9, NASDAQ futures up 2 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers of the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare.
And we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The U.S. is on the verge of approving a second coronavirus vaccine. A panel of experts has now given its okay to Moderna's shot. We get the very latest from Bloomberg pharmaceutical reporter Robert Langreth.
We're waiting for emergency use authorization from the FDA. We expect it to come, you know, promptly, like with Pfizer. Just have to get the wording down on the language and the fact sheets, maybe add some new things about looking for allergies and being extra cautious with that. But there's nothing stopping this.
FDA advisors say the benefits of Moderna's vaccine outweigh the risks after shots showed a high degree of efficacy in late-stage trials.
In the meantime, many states are getting fewer vaccine doses than originally planned. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee says his allocation for next week was cut by 40%.
It doesn't appear that it's a production problem, at least according to Pfizer at the moment.
Inslee says the holdup appears to be at the federal level. Meantime, the pandemic continues to ravage parts of the country. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus, while the U.S. reported another 234,000 infections.
There's still no pandemic relief bill as negotiators work through a handful of issues. Both parties are optimistic they can strike a deal and avoid a partial government shutdown. The current plan calls for roughly $900 billion in aid, but former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers says a bigger deal should be done.
I'm glad to see that stimulus is coming. I'm glad to see help for small business. I'm glad to see continuation of unemployment insurance. But this is not as good a bill as we could have had. Still, it's better than I expected 2 weeks ago, and we should be grateful for that.
Summers made the comments on Bloomberg's Wall Street Week, which you can catch tonight at 6 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
The list of victims from that suspected Russian cyber attack is growing. Federal authorities now warn the hackers present a grave risk to state and local governments and to the private sector. Bloomberg News has learned at least 3 states were hacked. So is the U.S. Nuclear Weapons Agency.
And tensions between the U.S. and China are back on the front burner. According to Reuters, the U.S. is set to blacklist dozens of Chinese companies, including the country's top chip maker, semiconductor manufacturer, International. Futures this morning, little changed. S&P futures up about 3 points, Dow futures up 2, NASDAQ futures down 2, and the 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 0.94%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's John Tucker.
And Nathan, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is eyeing the period right after Christmas for a shutdown of the city. He's blaming the rising number of coronavirus cases.
The number of cases is too high. The infection level is too high. The number of hospitalizations is too high. And unfortunately, it's just growing. I don't like restrictions. None of us likes restrictions. But I think we need them sooner rather than later.
Governor Andrew Cuomo would have the final say. He's already indicated a probable shutdown of the city in January. New Jersey lawmakers passed a measure setting up a recreational marijuana marketplace. It sends the legislation to Governor Phil Murphy, who's expected to sign it. The legislation sets out a timetable that could see recreational cannabis available in New Jersey in about 6 months. Voters in the state overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment in November allowing for recreational marijuana. Georgia's GOP senators have lost a court fight. Amy Morris has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
A federal judge in Georgia rejected the lawsuit by the state's two Republican senators seeking to change the mail-in ballot signature verification rules for their January 5th runoff election. U.S. District Judge Eleanor Ross called their worries about voter fraud far too speculative. The campaigns of Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler sought a court order that would force state election officials to have three people verify each signature and allow significantly more access to the canvassing process for partisan observers. The Georgia runoffs will determine control of the U.S. Senate. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President-elect Joe Biden has selected former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, North Carolina environmental regulator Michael Regan, and Representative Deb Haaland of New Mexico to advance his climate policy. If confirmed, Granholm would be Secretary of Energy, Regan, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator, and Haaland, Secretary of the Interior. If confirmed, Haaland would be the first Native American in a U.S. cabinet post. And Donald Trump has appointed a slew of prominent aides, supporters, and fundraisers to federal advisory boards since losing re-election. Roughly three dozen Trump allies have received appointments to federal boards and commissions in recent weeks, including some who bring no apparent expertise to the posts. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It's almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has a Bloomberg sports update.
Nathan, Thursday Night Football kicking off Week 15. And overtime in Las Vegas, the L.A. Chargers, who've lost so many close games over the last two seasons, pulled this one out 30-27. Their rookie quarterback Justin Herbert scored the game-winning touchdown. It was a battle of former University of Oregon QBs, Herbert, and Marcus Mariota, who came in when Derek Carr injured his groin in the first quarter. Chargers are 5-9. Raiders are 7-7. They've lost four of their last five. Giants go into this big game Sunday night against Cleveland without one of their best players and without their offensive coordinator, cornerback James Bradberry, on the COVID list. And Jason Garrett has the virus. So new play caller Freddie Kitchens, who's the tight ends coach, the head coach, Joe Judge.
It's really been a cooperative effort throughout the season anyway with the offensive staff along with the defensive staff. We all work together on the same page. You know, we've built in opportunities through training camp and practice periods this season where different coaches have had to call plays just for this exact situation.
Not known yet who the Giants quarterback will be, Daniel Jones or Colt McCoy. Jones dealing with injuries to both his right hamstring and left ankle. College hoops, St. John's fell to 0-3 in the Big East, lost at home to hot shooting Creighton, 94-76. Creighton shot 57%. Seton Hall beat Marquette 70-63. University of Houston, ranked 6th in the country, hasn't played in 2 weeks. Cougars have 15 players on the team. All 15 have tested positive for COVID at one point. Henrik Lundqvist called it a decision that breaks his heart. Literally, he won't be in goal for Washington this season. The longtime Rangers star has a heart condition. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nick.
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Conglomerates aren't dead after all. I'm Brooke Sutherland, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Over the years, conglomerate has become something of a dirty word, especially in the U.S. industrial sector, where many a former giant has rushed to dismantle itself with breakup after breakup. Yet in times of stress, safety can be found in diversification. This was true in past crises, and it's true again today amid the coronavirus pandemic. Breaking up a conglomerate is easier than building one. But the irony of the conglomerates are dead line of thinking is that the fundamental idea of diversity hasn't actually gone anywhere. It is just adapted. Even in 2020, a select group of U.S. companies are still operating multifaceted businesses, and they're thriving. For companies like Roper, the key to success is a mantra of independence for individual business units. At Honeywell and Fortive, businesses are unified around themes such as software. Whatever the operating philosophy is, it's only as good as the leadership of the moment's ability to carry it out. I'm Brooke Sutherland. For more opinion, visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. Now to some corporate stories we're following. Coca-Cola is cutting 2,200 jobs worldwide, including 1,200 in the U.S. We get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It comes amid ongoing shutdowns of soft drink-friendly venues like movie theaters, bars, and stadiums. The reductions involving a combination of voluntary buyouts and layoffs will result in expenses of $350 to $550 million. Coke had about 86,200 employees at the beginning of the year, including 10,400 in the United States. The latest move comes after the company offered early departure packages to about 40% of its North American workforce in August. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Now today, Nike reports fiscal second quarter earnings with a return to positive trends expected. Let's get that preview from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
After two consecutive quarters of declining revenue, analysts are expecting Nike to report a year-over-year gain of about 2%. U.S. and China performance, inventory levels, and digital sales commentary are all key areas that Wall Street will be watching. Analysts are forecasting a profit of 62 cents per share on revenue of more than $10.5 billion. Bloomberg Intelligence expects management to share some insight on early holiday season trends and its view on sporting events as we head into 2021. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Larry. Meantime, FedEx failed to keep up with Wall Street's soaring expectations. A jump in costs hurt profit margins in that company's fiscal second quarter, spurring doubts about how much FedEx is going to cash in from record package deliveries. Right now, shares of FedEx are down almost 3%. Royal Philips has agreed to buy U.S.-based BioTelemetry for $2.8 billion. That lets the Dutch company expand in wearable heart monitors. Demand is surging for Philips equipment that allows doctors and nurses to provide real-time care over the cloud. S&P futures up 4 points now. Dow futures up 14. NASDAQ futures up almost 2 points. Little changed across the board. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2020 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are a little changed after closing at records yesterday. This is Congress works to complete a pandemic relief deal. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 4 points. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures, they're little change. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 0.94%. And the yield on the two-year is at 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down a tenth of a percent or 7 cents at $48.29 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3.40 at $18.86.80 an ounce. The euro 1.2260 against the dollar. British pound 1.3534. And the yen is at 103.35. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, Congress has until midnight to pass a relief aid package as part of a spending bill or rush another stopgap to keep the government funded at least through the weekend. The pandemic continues to ravage parts of the country. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus. Meantime, many states getting fewer vaccine doses than originally planned. In sports, the Chargers beat the Raiders 30-27 in overtime. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's 6:48 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Here are some of the top stories from our nation's capital. A widening cyber investigation with hackers tied to Russia accused of targeting the U.S. Nuclear Weapons Agency in at least three states. President-elect Biden suggests foul play in political efforts to target his son. And the president-elect prepares to negotiate with the Maduro regime in Venezuela in a reversal of President Trump's policy. Also making news, still waiting for a stimulus package. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. The deadlines keep shifting. Kate, where are we?
Well, you know, whenever you think that time has run out in Congress, you realize there's like a little bit more time they can eke out of it. So basically, they continue to negotiate. They haven't reached a deal yet. There are still some of the same sticking points and some fresh sticking points that have emerged in the details. Yet the issue that's really driving this now in terms of the deadline is this midnight expiration of federal funding. And so basically where we're at is either there's going to have to be some kind of a deal today in time to get it passed, which is looking increasingly tricky and difficult to execute, or they'll need to have another short-term spending continuation stopgap measure to keep a government shutdown, a partial government shutdown, from occurring at midnight tonight. Or the third option, that there is some kind of a partial government shutdown while the Congress continues to try to work out the details of both the broader spending legislation and the coronavirus stimulus package.
Now, we've talked about some of the major sticking points, and it sounds like those are going to be left until next year if there is going to be another round of stimulus after this. What are some of the new sticking points now?
Well, it's interesting because thematically, at least, some of the new sticking points are quite similar to some of what, had been left on the cutting room floor. We know, for instance, Democrats had wanted additional aid to state and local governments. That became a non-starter. But now what they're pushing for is a federal higher matching rate for FEMA when it comes to coronavirus-related disasters. So, you know, Republicans saying, quite rightly, that's somewhat similar to what they were pushing for before. And vice versa, it's Republicans now seem to be pushing for an end to a Federal Reserve Emergency Lending Program by the end of the year. That's something that Democrats have been opposed to. So, and it's in keeping with some of the themes of what Republicans have pushed for before. So it's interesting that, you know, these almost like smaller proxy battles are beginning to play out as they continue to negotiate. But it does perhaps indicate that they're getting a bit closer to the finish line.
Well, we were speaking with Greg Vallier of AGF Investments the last hour. He was thinking that it might be as late as Christmas Eve before a deal gets done. What kind of timeline should we be looking for?
Well, you know, it wouldn't be the first time. I was in the Senate on Christmas Eve, in 2010 when they passed the Affordable Care Act that morning. There is some very recent precedent for big legislative packages coming together at the very, very last minute on Christmas Eve. So, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, who cover the Capitol and work there don't want to see that happening, but it's certainly a possibility. And I think that's really, in some ways, kind of where we're at, you know, where either something's going to come together quite quickly today with, you know, another short-term measure to get it through the finish line over the weekend. Or, you know, once this goes, the problem with Congress is kind of once this goes into next week, Monday, Tuesday, you might be really in for a situation where it's another, you know, December 23rd, December 24th kind of a deal.
Well, happy holidays. The other major story we're watching in Washington this holiday season and during the transition, a widening scope of this attack on government computer systems that may be tied to Russian hackers. What do we know about this?
Well, significantly, one of the more recent things to come to light is Microsoft saying that their systems have been exposed. Obviously, that, you know, widens the scope in terms of we knew that, you know, number of government agencies, a number of companies have potentially been hacked. Microsoft's revelation certainly widens the scope of this significantly. And I think that, you know, we heard from the president-elect, Joe Biden, yesterday saying that cybersecurity was going to be a top priority of his. I think that, you know, this is an issue that with everything going on with the election and the disputed election results and the coronavirus pandemic and the negotiations going on Capitol Hill about the stimulus money, this question of cybersecurity in the U.S. has kind of been a little bit on the back burner. And certainly this, hack and the things that we continue to find out about the scope and extent of it is bringing it back to the forefront.
And interestingly, the New York Times is reporting that the defense policy bill that President Trump has threatened to veto includes provisions that could prevent these kinds of cyber attacks. What more do we know about that?
Yeah, and that does, you know, raise some questions about, you know, the calculus that's going on at the White House in terms of whether or not the president would actually veto that legislation. Because, you know, in addition to having a number of provisions designed specifically to address this sort of a hack and to guard against it, you know, obviously the Pentagon funding bill funds U.S. military operations, funds U.S. troops and benefits for U.S. troops. And so I think there's a bit of, you know, it's a bit unusual to see a U.S. president threatening to veto that. And I think that it would be unlikely if that does come to pass that you know, the president does veto it, that, you know, it would seem pretty likely that the Congress would have the votes to override that veto, given the support for, funding the troops, particularly at Christmas time, and particularly the, recent developments involving the hack only add to the urgency of passing that measure from the perspective of Congress.
Now, as you mentioned, President-elect Biden has said cybersecurity is going to be a top priority for him, especially with this hack being reported and investigated. Now, what kind of tools could President Biden bring to bear in response to this?
Well, you know, we only need to look back to the last days of the Obama administration to get more of a sense, you know, when we when the Obama administration got information about the Russian attempts to influence the 2016 presidential election, President Obama took a number of steps very quickly, you know, around this time of year in 2016 to expel a number of Russian diplomats and impose other, you know, penalties on Russia. We haven't seen a similar approach from the Trump administration. And I think some Russia watchers, Russia experts, you know, have criticized that, saying that, you know, the Trump administration's failure to call out Russia over this hack in a very public way, and certainly to take any kind of steps to respond to it, that you know, essentially gives Russia more of a green light to do more of the same.
And in our last 30 seconds here, we have yet to hear publicly from President Trump about this breach. Are we hearing anything from the White House at this point?
Well, we do know the White House has been holding daily briefings on this, so that does indicate that, you know, at least behind the scenes, this is something that's been taken very, very seriously. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien cut short a trip abroad to come back and deal with this. So we know that, you know, it is something the White House is taking very seriously, but certainly the weight of public rhetoric from the president would add to that sense of urgency.
Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, lots to keep on top of in the nation's capital. Thank you for the debrief, and you can read more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. At 6:56 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. New Jersey Institute of Technology ranked number one of the top three universities in New Jersey and 74th in the nation by QS World University Rankings. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A second vaccine for COVID-19 moved closer to joining the fight against the pandemic as government advisors convened for a public review of its safety and effectiveness. It's the next to last step for Moderna's shot. The panel of physicians and medical researchers is expected to endorse it, followed by the Food and Drug Administration's okay within hours or days. For the third time in almost 2 months, Google has been accused of breaking antitrust laws. A group of 38 states is the latest to file suit. They accuse Google of illegally monopolizing internet search and search advertising. That suit was filed a day after a different complaint was filed against Google by 10 Republican-led states. The Justice Department filed its own complaint in October. Google said it looks forward to making its case in court. And Sony has removed Cyberpunk 2077 from its PlayStation store and is offering full refunds. The company is taking unusual steps to appease customers furious about bugs plaguing one of the year's most highly anticipated games. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Again, futures this morning, little changed. S&P futures starting to see a little more strength, though, up almost 5 points. Now, Dow futures up 14, and NASDAQ futures, again, little changed. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 0.94%, and the yield in the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.2%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.